Welcome to the Better Birth Podcast. My name's Erin and I'm a hypnobirthing and antenatal instructor, birth activist and all-round birth geek. In this podcast, I chat to experts in the field of pregnancy and birth, debunking myths around birth, diving into the research around maternity care and exploring what is it that means you're more likely to have a positive birthing experience. If you enjoy this podcast, do feel free to buy me a coffee and fund my caffeine habit. Link to my Buy Me a Coffee page is in the podcast info. Enjoy this episode. Welcome to the Better Birth Podcast. Today I'm speaking to Gordon from Mantenatal. Welcome, Gordon.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Erin.
Oh, you're welcome. I was just saying before we started recording, it's nice to mix it up and have a guy come on the podcast for a change. So,
well, thank you. I'm not your first guy on the podcast, though, am I?
No, but you're in the minority, I have to say.
Okay.
Out of the 100 and something episodes that I've recorded, so.
Well, I feel honoured. Thank you.
Get a different view. So we're here to talk about birth partners. And their role and why they're so important and why prep is so important for birth partners. But before we kind of dive in to the chat, do you want to just introduce yourself a little bit and just tell all the listeners who you are and what it is that you do?
Sure. So my name is Gordon. I'm the owner and founder of Mantenatal. The reason kind of how it's come about and what it does, I'm the father of four children, two boys and two girls. I was present for two vaginal births, two cesarean sections, and my sister is also a midwife. And I think that helped me have some really good grounding and knowledge and experience to say it's time to share it with the dads as well. In terms of kind of how it came about, Erin, we went to antenatal classes and I did it twice. I did the really famous one with the three letters. I did twice, and I remember at the second time round, it was announced in the group. Oh, Gordon, you've got kids, right? Let's have a chat about some things. And I was like, what? Like, I didn't want it announced. It wasn't a secret. I just thought, I don't want to be kind of front and center. It's not what this is about. And during the coffee break, Erin, all the dads or dads to be came up to me and started asking me all these questions. And I was like, there's a real gap. So this is where Mantenatal came from.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic because I think you kind of implied this slightly before we started recording that, you know, we all learn in different ways. We probably, have different demands and different needs. And I do know from teaching my own classes that I think the fears and anxieties and the worries that the birth partners have can be very different from that of the person who's giving birth, right?
100%. And that's one of the foundations of Mantenatal, is that when the guys join the course, is we say nothing is taboo. Genuinely, you can ask anything you want, anything that's on your mind, with zero judgment. And I'm not saying, therefore, it would be judged in a traditional format or your course, but it is different when it's a guy talking to a guy. It just is. And I give you an example, is that there's very few birth partners who, let's say they've got their expecting mum partner beside them, would put their hand up in a kind of traditional setting and say, oh, I've got a question for you, Erin. How soon after baby comes, can we start having sex again? Like the look of death that they're going to get, the look of judgment on the drive home is going to be quite interesting. But in Mantenatal, that's the stuff we can talk about. And yes, we might put a bit of tongue in cheek in it, and we might say, well, the answer is never again. But the second one's actually mum decides, right? That's the real answer. Mum will tell you when the right time is. But that just gives a flavour where we go down a different route. In fact, I got asked a question last week on one of our courses that had never been asked before. And it was a dad or a dad-to-be. And he said, look, and picture the scene, right? You've got, I don't know, 15 guys on screen, right? We've never met each other, but we call it squads, by the way, right? So we're all on the same journey together. So we call them our squads. And this guy was brave enough to come off mute during the kind of Q&A and said, look, I've got a question that I'm feeling a bit embarrassed about, but I want to ask. I said, ask anything you want. And he said that, look, his partner is from a different ethnicity, and her mum and dad were putting real pressure on her, and therefore him, to have, they were going to have a boy, to have the little boy circumcised. And he's like, what's your thoughts on it? Like, what would you do in my situation? And you're thinking, wow, right? So these are the things, you can't prepare for that stuff. But this is guys being able to open up and talk about concerns, fears, worries, whatever you want to call it. But it is different, Erin.
Yeah. And I think traditionally, I think there is, I think, a stigma maybe against men sharing feelings and talking openly. And yeah, I mean, like you were saying earlier, you know, the focus is on the pregnant woman and the person that's giving.
And it should be.
Which, as it should
yeah.
be, really. But the birth partner is hugely important in that process and that event of giving birth, right? And if you've got a birth partner who is absolutely clueless and absolutely terrified and really, really stressed, that's the polar opposite of what you need when you're giving birth, right?
Well, that's so just looping back quickly to close off the other topic, and some, we also talk about mental health. And we talk about the guys who are maybe traditionally that are not comfortable admitting that they don't know what they don't know, right? And they need help and support. And we talk about that in Mantenato. When you think about it, our branding works quite well because the word mental health has got the word men in it, right? So we're openly talking about it. And I'll say, look, this statistic is 1 in 10. 1 in 10 new dads or birth partners will suffer from some form of mental illness, anxiety, depression, whatever it may be, right? And I'm the first one, Erin, to say, and I've said it on many Instagram lives and stuff with specialists, that I don't believe the number. I think it's much, much higher. And I'll get the guys, the specialists looking at me going, but that's the stat. And I'll say, no. It relies on too many variables, Erin. It relies on a guy saying, I need help. And not every guy will, right? It relies on a partner saying, I think he needs help. I'm recognizing the signs of depression, anxiety, anger management, whatever it might be. And not every partner knows the signs. And last but not least, it relies on some medical professional ticking a box saying this guy's getting help, right? So there's too many variables. So the number has to be higher. So just to kind of finish that point on is we are big advocates on getting the guys to open up on mental health and saying it's okay not to be okay. So I wanted to make sure that we landed that point because it's really important to us. And then on the other part of I use the word clueless, I kind of feel that that's where I was first time round. I didn't really know what was going on. And I felt like a bit of a spectator, for want of a better word. And a huge, one of the huge messages that we deliver at Mantenato is that every guy who goes through the course is in a better place than I ever was when I became a father, because this didn't exist, right? So they're already ahead of the game. And we don't want them to be spectators. You want them to be able to advocate. You want them to know that, I use the word birth plan, but I also love the word birth preferences as well. I love the difference. So we know what we're talking about. And knowing these things inside out, they can play an active role versus just being overwhelmed. And I'll steal Emma, the naked doula's little phrase, is guardian of oxytocin. And you need your birth partner to be able to advocate for you and not be a spectator, because birth is not a spectator sport.
Yeah, it really is so important. And I think even more so as times change and, you know, the guidelines and the policies and the way that birth unfolds, I think particularly in more medicalized environments, the need to have good support and the need to have a birth partner who does know how to advocate for you, who does know what your preferences are, who feels comfortable and confident enough to be able to say, well, hold on a minute, do we need to make a decision now, or can we go away and have a think about this? or I'll know how to ask the right questions and be able to navigate that whole journey, whether that's antenatally or in the middle of labor, I think is hugely important. And we see this kind of like comedy, jokey kind of version of birth partners, right? You probably see memes all the time on the internet of the birth partner, like sitting in the corner on his phone, or fainted on the floor. And we laugh at it, but it's not really funny. It's because it's not great for the birth partner, because they do feel like a spare part, or they feel really overwhelmed. It's not great for the person giving birth, because they're then birthing alone, effectively.
What I'm totally agree with you, Erin. I think one of the strange things is, if you just think about it in life, if you're going to learn to drive a car, you take lessons, right? If you're going to learn to cook a new meal, you'll get the recipe book out and follow the instructions, right? So these are relatively simple things, right? In terms of life, it's things you just got to do. But when you're going to become a parent, whether it be a mum or a dad, like, take the time out to learn. To learn and coach from people who've been there and done it, and it, there's so much to be said for just taking the time to upskill, because you're going to be in such a better place mentally, right? And able to step up, and able to play an active role. Because what's the alternative, Erin? Right? The alternative is that whole kind of rabbit in the headlights, and the blood draining from you, and saying, "I don't know what I'm meant to do." And that's why another key message we deliver at Mantenato is having these discussions while things are calm, right? So don't wait to the heat of the moment, because you ain't going to make progress in that environment. So pause the Netflix, pause the Amazon, sit down and have a discussion to say, look, what are our preferences? And here's one that the guys don't get asked often enough, is, and I'll say to them, I want you to go and ask your partner tonight, if things don't go to plan, what do you do, right? What do you do as the partner, right? So and again, I'll bring it to life for you, is I remember, and I sat with my wife and I said, look, we've got all these preferences, we know how we want it to run. I said, but what if something happens that things don't go to plan, and maybe there are complications, and maybe baby's not in a good way, or like, and let's talk about that rather than you're in the thick of it. And it's like, I've got to deal with it now, right? And one of my instincts, and I've talked to many, many, many guys about this now, that their instinct is to be right beside mum, right? Is protect mum, do whatever they can. And yet you'll be surprised at the amount of women that might say, actually, stay with baby. Don't let baby out of your sight. I'm being looked after by whoever I need to be looked after. But if I hadn't had that dialogue, I wouldn't have known what to do, and I probably would have made the wrong call. So it goes back to your point. It's just have these discussions. It's so vital to do it now, when like there is no noise, there is no anxiety. There's let's chat and encourage the chat and the dialogue. Okay, that's going to help you.
Yeah, there's two things you said that I think are really, really interesting. One is your analogy about getting the recipe book out. It's one thing that I say all the time on my Instagram is we put so much time and money and investment into planning other things, big events in our lives. I quite frankly, there are people who probably have spent more time researching their mobile phone than they have done any
I believe you. I believe
the
you.
birth of their children, which
Yeah.
just, when you put it like that, just sounds absolutely absurd.
But Erin, just to quickly build on that, that's some I guess there's maybe a school of thought, and I don't subscribe to it, is it'll come naturally, right? We'll wing it, we'll be all right. But it doesn't come naturally to everybody.
Or the birth professionals, the doctors and the midwives, they know what they're doing.
They'll tell me.
And we know, right? We know that, yes, they've got the vast majority have got your best interests in heart, and that's why they've got their policy and the guidelines. That's not necessarily what you would choose to do if the alternatives were.
Yeah, and you've used probably the magic word, is the word choose or choice, right? People don't even know necessarily what choices they've got. And again, that's why we're stimulating these discussions with the birth partners and mum to be. And it's why our live course is on a Tuesday night and on a Thursday night, because we encourage them to say, look, we give you the Wednesday off. So you guys can now go and have the conversations. And then they come back on the third day, like, we've talked about things that we would never have done before, right? In terms of interventions, right? Things they want, things they don't want. But 24 hours before that, the word intervention didn't, they didn't associate it, or the word preferences didn't associate it with birth.
Which is another thing that I raise in my when I teach my classes, I intentionally make the point that, and I know this is probably overgeneralizing, but in my own personal experience, and I think in a lot of relationships, there's a certain dynamic that happens, right? And the women sometimes, quite often, are the planners, right? And they'll do
No, can I say no comment? Or yes, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely
they do. I mean, because I did it. I did. I mean, I'm control freak. Like I like to be in control of everything, so I do all the research and I'll do the planning. And when I was pregnant, I did all of that stuff, and I wrote my birth preferences out, and I handed them to my husband, and he read them. But then what's he supposed to do with that? Because we hadn't done it together as a team, right? And then we're expecting birth partners to advocate for us, and they don't know what's the order of priority of things. They don't know what's a nice to have or what's like really, really important. They don't know whether the skin to skin is that important, or is the optimal cord clamping really important, or do they even know what it is just because it's written down on a piece of paper. So the antenatal prep is so important, because there's quite a lot on the birth partner's shoulders when we're expecting them to advocate for us.
100%, 100%. And I think the other things that are kind of springing to mind as you're saying that is, at Mantenato, we don't talk about her birth plan. We talk about your birth plan. Because, like you say, the birth partner's got an active role to play, right? So do they know, like, are they going to identify the sex? Are they going to cut the cord, right? All these little things that they get to do. Do they want to, have they agreed that, I don't know, when mum's crowning, that they want to be the first one ever to touch their child? All these magical things that sometimes maybe you just don't want to miss, right? But if you don't know, you will miss them. So I just want to touch on the point that it's your birth plan that we talk about, to try and get the birth partners engaged on it. And we give an analogy to them, which is quite funny at the start. And I'll say to them, right, how many of you are aware that there is such a thing called a birth plan or birth preferences? And have you created one? And I normally get these kind of looks of, don't know what you're talking about, right? Or one guy said, are you telling me that my wife's squirreling away some kind of magical plan that I don't know about? Then I don't know, but maybe it's one of these conversations you want to have. But in terms of analogy, I'll say to the guys, I bet right now, and it's rhetorical, I'll say, you know where your wallet is. I'll say, you know where in your wallet your credit card is. And you'll know visually, like which pocket it's in, et cetera. You'll know the colors on the credit card. You might even know some of the numbers on the credit card. That's the level of detail I want you to know the birth plan, right? I need them to know it like that. Because like when the S hits the fan, right? It's like, then what? Then what? Are you going to like flick this thing out and go to chapter seven and try and figure it? No, you're not. You're not. You need to know some of these basics. And the other thing then is how to. So if we educate people through antenatal courses, especially the guys, is how to ask the questions in a non-confrontational way, right? Because like we said, it's a pressurized environment, it's a pressure moment in your life. So how do you ask things that doesn't create friction and doesn't and make the tension worse, right? When you're trying to be the guardian of oxytocin, how can you do that if you're actually the one generating the heat in that scenario? So we help the guys with that as well.
Yeah, it's a good point, because I think that sometimes the birth partners can feel that kind of protective urge, right? Particularly when things are getting quite heated, or maybe there's kind of some kind of emergency, or they can feel quite protective of the person giving birth. And there are things that you can plan for in advance. A really quick fix that I teach my clients. Because obviously birth partner is the protector of the birth space and the protector of the guardian, like you said, of the oxytocin. Such a quick and easy thing to avoid having to have those kind of awkward conversations in the room. I tell them to put a sign on the door. Put a sign on the door saying, "We're hypnobirthing," or whatever it is that you're doing. Please knock before you come in. Please speak to me in the first instance. Leave her alone.
Yep, nice.
And then you don't have to go, "I'm really sorry, but can you have that conversation outside?" Or, "I'm really sorry,
Yeah.
can you talk to me instead?" Because then it becomes awkward, right? So there's little things that you can plan for, which you probably wouldn't have thought of if you didn't do a course beforehand.
But I give another example of an awkward moment that if you put it in the birth plan, again, you don't have to deal with it at the time. So I remember for one of our births, the door was knocked. And you can imagine that mum's in a very kind of revealing situation, right? And the door knocked, and suddenly his head popped around. It was like, "Hey, there's a student midwife would like to come and watch. Is that okay?" And I was just thinking, "Well, wait a minute. Like, then I didn't know what to do." So we've just said for the last few minutes that learning is so important, right? And I'm a huge advocate for it. But I was also torn, Erin, by thinking this is our little intimate space. I think it was maybe one. I think it might be my first child. So this is our intimate moment, and I want it just to be us. And every other child, there was students there, right? Everyone's got to learn. And it was also a male student midwife. And I was like, I just felt under this pressure to say yes. And I was like, well, I don't want to. So how do I deal with this? But again, you can put in the birth plan, right? The student midwife, yes, no. And you won't even have to deal with it after that. But if you don't put these things in, you've got to deal with them live. And they can be awkward moments, you know, that don't need to, they shouldn't be.
Yeah, I think from experience, I think both the person who's pregnant and the birth partner can find it quite mind-blowing when we go through, birth planning and preferences and all the different medical interventions and pros and cons of, drugs and induction and things like, optimal cord clamping versus delayed cord clamping. And it can seem a little bit overwhelming as well, I think, when they start
Absolutely.
through and you realize just how much there is to kind of consider. But I think it makes a really, really good point that there is so much that actually could have lasting impact on your child and your partner, arguably, which you would have potentially no control over or say in if you haven't done any prep beforehand.
Exactly. And I think the key thing on that piece is, especially with the guys we talk to, is, and we land this point many times over, it's not like it is in the movies, right? It's not like Netflix or you know what I mean? It's tough, right? And we say that what mum is going through is, there's no guy that would swap that role for anything in the world, right? If we could, we there'd be no if guys were the ones giving birth, there'd be no babies, right? I'm the first to admit that. There just wouldn't be, right? Because what women can do and what their body's designed to do is incredible. But yeah, I think when guys realize how traumatic that is to, and again, I'm looking through a male perspective, right? Because that's all I can only empathize with women, but I can recognize what it's like as a guy. Is it's traumatic to witness. In terms of, like you touched on earlier, like having zero control, and yet your instinct is to protect, and be there and support, and a lot of that's taken away, and you've got to kind of nature run its course. You've got to trust the people around you. That's a foreign, certainly not a normal everyday occurrence for most guys, and you've got to get yourself prepared for that. And antenatal education does exactly that. We'll get you ready for it.
I think it, on your point around it's not like on the TV, and I think that's a really, really important point to make because for everybody, not just for the birth partners, pregnant people as well, the way that birth is represented on TV and film, like I always come back to House of the Dragon because I don't know if you've seen House of the
Of course,
Dragon,
I've seen it. I love
the
it.
prequel to Game of Thrones, right? Which I absolutely
Yeah.
love, but
Oh, there's lots of
the
traumatic
birth,
moments in that.
my God, like the birth
Episode
from
one.
episode one. I'm not having any more kids, but I've given birth 3 times, and I felt traumatized watching that. And
Yeah, I did
I
too.
think, this plays a part in a lot of birth partners arguably feeling reluctant, I think, for their partners, the person who's pregnant, to say have a home birth. Or have a very unmedicalized birth because they're scared, they're worried because Society and the media have drummed into us that birth is this traumatic, dangerous, risky event that needs the safety net of a hospital. And
Yeah.
one thing that I come across quite often is my clients tend to book with me, and it's usually the mum, the person who's
Yeah.
booked with me, and their birth partner comes along to the courses, and she really wants a home birth, and her partner's really, really reluctant and needs convincing. And it's because of this kind of drip feed narrative, isn't it, that birth is really risky and really dangerous.
Yeah, it is. It is. I think there's a, so I think if I was to put it on a percentage scale, I think that 90 plus percent is exactly that in terms of the guy's mental journey he's going through of what if something goes wrong? Like, I need to know that we've got someone to press of a button. And if they're at home, we don't have those facilities. So I think 90% of his thought is that. Do you know what I think the other 10% is? I'm being honest with you, it's the mess. It's the mess, right? They're like,
If women get put off by that as well, they think it's going to be really messy.
yeah, but the guys won't tell you it's the mess, right? They'll put all of it, say, oh, it's about having the support.
Would definitely have been worried about the mess. I mean, before we had kids, he used to eat
Let's be honest.
sticks and not have his hands dirty. Like,
Let's be honest. But you're absolutely right. And like in our course, and I know all the stats are pointing in the exact direction you're saying, but I'll say to the guys, look, give us a show of hands. Who here's planning a home birth? And let's say again, I've got 15 guys, one guy might put his hand up, right? On average, right? That gives you the element of the stats. And what I'll say to the guys, and it's the same, I give you the same answer when I say, who's planning a vaginal birth? Who's planning a cesarean section? And again, the majority might say vaginal birth, right? It's like, okay, great. But then I'll use the same answer for both of the questions. I'll say, you don't know what you don't know, right? So it's my job to get you prepared for both. Because if you guys are at home, and things move extremely quickly, are you ready to step up, right? Or are you literally just in complete panic in the corner of the room, shaking? And that's not the guys we want. So I get the guys ready for a basic home birth, if that is, because you don't know, right? If things happen rapidly, right? Have you got the blankets, the bucket, all the bits and pieces, right? Have you got it all ready? Like a so I give them like a bit of a list that they should be having ready. And then in terms of the C-section, I share my own story where the first child we had was a vaginal birth. Second time round, I'm thinking, right, I know what's going on here, it's all good. And I remember walking along the corridor and I was in the hospital at the time, and my phone went, and I was going to get a sandwich because things were taking a while. And it was Gordon, get right back here now, we're going into theatre. And I'm like, what? So this is the point, is that I need the dad ready for both scenarios. Because if I focus on just one, whether it be home birth or hospital or vaginal and not C-section, I don't think I'm doing my job right. And the amount of guys that come back and say, thank God you got me ready for that. Because you know this, Erin, it's a totally different experience.
Yeah, it's when we do birth preferences, I always tell my clients, you need a plan A and a plan B and a plan C.
Yeah.
You're planning a home birth, fantastic. Put your preferences down for your home birth, but you also need a plan for what if you transfer to hospital and you end up on labour.
Yeah.
How are you going to make that a positive experience? What's within your control to make that an oxytocin birth-friendly environment? And then what are your C-section preferences? Because home births do end up in C-section sometimes,
Yeah. Yeah.
any kind of birth, can take a different path, no matter how the amount of forward-leaning inversions and birth prep and planning you've done, right? Sometimes baby just gets in an awkward position
Yeah.
and you need a C-section. And if you haven't planned for it, that can be really traumatic.
Exactly. And it might be we try and explain to the guys and say it might be a kind of break glass moment, but at least you've got the little book there behind the glass and it's got telling you what to do, rather than just what you're winging it and circling it back to what we said at the start. You're just basing it on what, a Game of Thrones episode you watched, or you know what I mean? And that's the other one, right? In terms of it's not like the movies, is one of the things we'll say to the guys, and I watch their faces change as we tell them, is when mum goes into active labor, their waters do not always break, right? So it's not like the movies. That's my point. So in the movies, it's like, oh my God, my waters are broken, but gosh, and it all happens, right? And I don't want the guys, because movies are feeding this into households. I never want a guy to say, and I've had one guy message me and say that he would have done it if I hadn't told him, is I don't want you pushing back to mum and saying, well, you can't be because your waters haven't broken, right? And you know this, that sometimes they get broken in hospital and there's the amniotic hook and blah, blah. And I've got to get the guys to understand it's not like the movies every time. And don't challenge. If mum says she's in it, and you'll know when she's in it, trust me, don't say, well, wait a minute, your waters haven't broken, so therefore that A can't lead to B. And we've got to dispel some of these myths there.
Yeah. And there's so many of them, isn't there? I mean,
oh my God.
there's like an endless list of tropes, I think, when it comes to films and birth, you know.
There is. I'm trying to think if I've seen anything even recently where I went, do you know what? It's there's a lot that I would say is raw and it doesn't cut back in terms of the visuals and blah, blah, blah. But I'm trying to think, is there anything there that I come away and just thought, you know, really authentic, warts and all, good, bad and ugly. I don't know, I'm struggling. Have you seen anything that you'd recommend?
Yorkshire Midwives on BBC.
Okay.
I think it's probably the only show that I think is a really good, honest, accurate representation of birth and home birth. Everything else I've seen, and I joke about this all the time with my clients, every time I see someone giving birth on TV, I literally want to throw my remote at the TV. And my husband's got really, really used to me kind of going, ah, why? Why are they showing this?
You got to buy new TVs every week.
We watched Emily in Paris.
I'm aware of it, but I am not going to admit on any podcast that I've watched it, but I'm aware of it.
My husband chose to watch it.
No. I've been a spectator in the room when it's on. Let's just call it that.
There was a woman giving birth. She went into labour in Emily in Paris. And it was just, you know, they were in a nice restaurant in the Eiffel Tower and her water's broken. Everyone's like, oh my God, her water's broken. And everyone's flapping and running around. She's like, oh, going into labour. And then it cuts to her being in the back of an ambulance at the bottom of the Eiffel Tower, and I'm thinking, why is she in an ambulance?
Because it's an illness, right? Exactly. It's a, and this is the point. Yeah. This is nature. It's not a medical. You don't need medical intervention, right, every time. And yeah. I'm preaching to the converted. We both agree.
I agree. One thing that you said earlier about, you know, making sure that the birth partners have got their back, the bag packed, and they, you know, stuff at the home birth. It's another thing which it makes me giggle because I'm completely guilty of this. You know,
go on,
when we go on holiday, like I have to pack, I have to make sure that everything's there. I always say to the couples when I teach, let him pack the bag. And honestly, you would think that I'd suggested something horrific, but because
it's like defusing a bomb, Erin. You just asked them to defuse a bomb.
No. And I'm like, well, you can put everything on the bed so that you know that the stuff is there.
And I bet you just get the panic of
let him put it in the bag because he needs to know what's in the bag and where everything is, because you're not going to be the one going in the bag. You need to relinquish control. Because in all seriousness,
yeah, no, you're right.
But your brain is in another place. Like,
exactly. Well, that goes right back to what we said in terms of the birth plan and birth preferences. Is what, do you think mum's going to go, wait a minute, I think if you look on page 33 or on the back of the napkin, whichever format you've gone with, it clearly states that I want X, Y, and Z. No. She's not going to be able to communicate, right? So it's the same thing. Is you need the birth partner to be able to step up in all of those scenarios. And again, I give you an example of the questions we get asked on the course. Is I got a guy saying to me, Gordon, I've seen the, he called it the hospital bag. No, not the baby bag, the hospital bag. I've seen it and mum's already packing it and I'm seeing what's going in it. I said, right. He said, but I want to tell her like it's way too big. And I said, well, what are you talking about? He said, oh, it looks like she's going for 2 weeks to Florida. We've got like the biggest case we've got as a family and this thing is getting full. He said, how do I tell her it's too big? I said, listen, number one, you don't. I said, you know, when you go on holiday and you pack a bag and you put 8 pairs of jeans in it and 6 pairs of shorts and blah, blah, and you wear 2 pairs of shorts, you never go near the jeans because it's too hot, but you've packed them because it gives you comfort. Mm-hmm. you know you've got them. Mum's getting all of that when with whatever's in that bag. I do. So I love your point of him getting actively involved in it and actually putting it in compartments and knowing where it all is. I love that. But don't tell her it's too big. Don't tell her it's too much, because if it gives her a level of comfort, who cares? And that was pretty much the answer I gave him, because he was like, I want to tell her it's way too big. I was like, you don't get involved in that. You don't get involved in telling her that's not okay.
Not to mention that if she takes something out and then she needs it on the day, you'll never hear the end of it.
Oh, game over. Game over, right? Yeah. So we navigate that stuff together as guys. And I try and advise them the best way I can. So yeah, it's good fun.
We haven't touched on, which I also think is really important, I think, for a birth partner's perspective, is how to provide comfort and support to the person giving birth, because it's not just about advocacy, right? And I do see videos of birth partners and they're kind of sat in the corner, chugging on the gas and air and having a laugh and playing Snake on their phone or whatever they're doing. It breaks my heart, because there's so much that a birth partner could be doing to support emotionally and physically that person giving birth, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And
Positions and
absolutely. And I think that one of the key things, and I'll give you some things that are kind of running through my head in terms of what that support looks like. But one of the overarching views I want to give you, Aaron, is we get the guys to just take a moment to remind themselves that this woman that they love is giving birth to their child, right? She's grown them, and look what she's going through to allow you both to become parents and create a little family. And just take a minute, just have respect for that, right? And just remind her how incredible she is, because it might just be a really simple little sentence, but it'll be so powerful in that moment just to say, do you know what, you are unbelievable. And I can't believe what you're able to do. And you turn into a sports coach as well, though, right? In terms of keep going, come on, I know you can't push him, come on, we'll do it together. And so that's where we talk about sports coaching and stuff. But I think the other thing is just taking the time to listen, right? And I think you become support free during and post birth. And I think listening is something you should be using all the way through, right? Because we talked about that male instinct of protecting, but you've also got the male instinct of wanting to solve. Right, you've got the male instinct of saying, right, I've heard what you've said, here's the solution, right? But how many times, and I'm guilty of it, I'm absolutely guilty of it, is actually I didn't want you to solve, I just wanted you to hear me. So one of the things that I'm trying to get the guys to understand, and I'm trying to do the own discipline myself, is this a listening moment or is this a solution moment, so I don't make the mistakes. So it's one of the kind of key things that I want to talk to the guys about. And then the other one is that whole thing around empathy. And yeah, you can do the breathing techniques and make sure mum's drinking water and then buy the extra long straw so that mum trying to drink on her back or on all fours is a nightmare. So guess what? Dad's got the big long straw he's got from Amazon, whatever, right? But the other one you can also do in terms of support is try and share as much of the pain as you can together. And again, I need to qualify what the hell I mean by that. So we cannot, right? Guys cannot replicate what mum's going through physically, right? Even a kick in the balls isn't not going to touch it, right? I'm saying it, you've got me on camera saying it, right? It's not, but it's the closest we would probably get, but where I can. But in terms of when mum's going through that moment, if she's calling you every name under the sun, Erin, right? Remember, it's a moment in time. It actually is your fault that she's there. And you're not going through any of the pain she is. So one of the things we talk to the dads about is like, you know, when you say, oh, give her your hand and let her squeeze every time she's going through a contraction, whatever it is. But when you give any person your hand like that, it can be agony, right? If you squeeze your fingers together like that, it's really sore. And I learned this from a midwife where she said, you give them your thumb, right? And have you heard of this before? I'd never heard of this, right? So try this with me, genuinely, right? So put your hand like this flat, right? And imagine mum's grabbing it and squeezing your fingers together. It starts to hurt, right? It's not good. But if you give her your thumb, so do this with me, and say squeeze it as hard as you want every time you're in a contraction. Squeeze your thumb as hard as you can.
Yeah.
Doesn't hurt.
Not so.
Doesn't hurt.
No.
Right? So we talk about, say to the guys, like, you can try and give her something that allows her to take something out on you a little bit, that eases the moment. But the big support, obviously it's pre, during, but it's also post, Erin. And we need the guys to really step up once baby's here as well. And we say you're not a real dad until you've got shit behind your nails. That's the dads we want. It is. That's the dads we want. So that's what we talk about.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. The postnatal point is a really important one. You know, from personal experience of breastfeeding two children, it's something that I would never change, and it's not something that I, you know, I'm proud of breastfeeding, and I wanted to breastfeed my kids, but it's also a huge amount of responsibility, and it's tiring, and you know, you do end up taking on that load because you can't hand over your child to your partner to feed. So what can the partner be doing? You know, if they can't feed your child, then there's other things they can.
Oh my God, I've got a whole list. I've got a whole list there. And how long have I got? So no, but it's practical stuff, right? So yeah, no, I do. Yeah. I do. But we'll say to the guys, do you know what? It can range from putting the kettle on, running the Hoover around the house, figuring out what you're going to have for dinner that night, to putting a cushion under mum's arm, giving her a massage, again, reminding her how incredible she is,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That she's feeding your child. Yeah, the first time you might just be in awe of the whole thing, like, this is just mind-blowing. But then it might end up, if mum goes down the route of expressing, right? That guess what? Dad can genuinely step in. Right, if you build up a bank, right, you know what I'm talking about, right? So there's a chance there for dad to step in, but actually, formula or breast milk, we say to the guys, your job's sterilizing duty, your job's winding duty, and we give them jobs to do, because like it's not that easy to be that mobile from mom's perspective, right, if you're feeding, so crack on with stuff.
But I also think, again, communication is so important. Having those discussions before you give birth, what is it that I want you to be doing when the baby's here?
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, and again, from experience, women get resentful when they have to keep on asking and telling the partner what to do. You know, it's wonderful when somebody proactively does something without you having to ask for it.
Yeah, and I make that mistake all the time. All the time, I'm fallible. I made loads of mistakes. I know exactly what you're talking about. And when my wife watches this, she'll go, "See, I told you." Yeah, I know.
But that's why you have those conversations before the baby arrives, right? Because
exactly.
You're not short tempered. You know, you're not going to get frustrated with each other. You know, the expectations have been set, right? Before.
100%. Well, we use the phrase rules of the game, mm-hmm. Right? Is you've got to agree the rules of the game, whether that's who's getting up during the night, is it a Monday to Thursday thing? If dad's gone back to work, and then is dad doing the Friday, Saturday, Sunday? If you can agree some of these rules of the game, it takes the heat out of, you know, that moment of the nudge.
Yeah.
Nudge when it's, I think it's your turn. Like, it takes some of that out as well.
Yeah.
But yeah.
When he's snoring next to you, not
again, no comment.
You're up for the fourth time feeding your child.
Oh no, I love that you're smiling about it, but yeah, when you're living it, you ain't smiling.
No.
I know.
I feel like I could talk about this for a very, very long time.
Okay? I get the feeling you could too. I feel like it's going to turn into a counselling session.
So if people want to find you and your classes, where can they find you?
So nice and easy. You go to mantenatal.com, and we made the name as Ron Seal as we could, where it's just the word M, the letter M, to get the word mantenatal. Mantenatal.com. You can email us at info@mantenatal.com. You can also follow us on every social platform that I can think of. Just literally put the handle in at Mantenatal. And we'd love to support anyone who wants a little bit of help in terms of their journey to becoming a father, being a birth partner. And we're also big advocates for same-sex couples as well, because your journey to fatherhood isn't what's important. It's the fact that you're going to be there for a child, and that's what's important to us. So yeah.
Thank you so much, Gordon. It's been really lovely talking to you.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you again for having us on. Appreciate it.
Oh, it's been fantastic, and I'm sure we'll keep on talking, and we might have to do some Instagram lives as well. But thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Aaron. Take care.
The Better Birth podcast and all of its content is for educational and informational purposes only. You should consult your midwife or your doctor for anything in relation to your own pregnancy and birth. The opinions and the views of the guests on the Better Birth podcast are their own opinions and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Better Birth or Erin Fung.